What could there be to fear? The desert was what you believed. Vorbis looked inside himself and went on looking. He sagged to his knees.
I can see that you are busy, said Death.
Don't leave me. It's so empty.
Death looked around at the endless desert. He snapped his fingers and a large white horse trotted up.
I see 100,000 people, he said, swinging himself into the saddle.
Where? Where?
Here, with you.
I can't see them.
Death gathered up the reins.
Nevertheless, he said. His horse trotted forward a few steps.
I don't understand, screamed Vorbis.
Death paused.
You have perhaps heard the phrase, he said, that hell is other people.
Yes, 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 of course.
Death nodded.
In time, he said, you will learn that it is wrong.
The first boats grounded in the shallows, and the troops leapt into shoulder-high surf. No one was quite sure who was leading the fleet. Most of the countries along the coast hated one another, not in any personal sense, but simply on a kind of historical basis. On the other hand, how much leadership was necessary? Everyone knew where Omnia was. None of the countries in the fleet hated the others worse than they did Omnia. Now it was necessary for it not to exist. General Argavisti of Ephebe considered that he was in charge, because although he didn't have the most ships, he was avenging the attack on Ephebe. But Imperator Borvorius of Tussaut knew that he was in charge, because there were more Tussautian ships than any others. And Admiral Ram Ap Ethan of Jellybaby knew that he was in charge, because he was the kind of person who always thought he was in charge of anything. The only captain who did not, in fact, think he was commanding the fleet was Fusta Benj, a fisherman from a very small nation of marsh-dwelling nomads, of whose existence all the other countries were in complete ignorance, and whose small reed boat had been in the path of the fleet and had got swept along. Since his tribe believed that there were only 51 people in the world, worshipped a giant newt, spoke a very personal language which no one else understood, and had never seen metal or fire before, he was spending a lot of time wearing a puzzled grin. Clearly they had reached the shore, not of proper mud and reeds, but of very small, gritty bits. He lugged his little reed boat up the sand and sat down with interest to see what the men in the feathery hats and shiny fish-scale vests were going to do next. General Argavisti scanned the beach.
They must have seen us coming, he said, so why would they let us establish a beachhead?
Heat haze wavered over the dunes. A dot appeared, growing and contracting in the shimmering air. More troops poured ashore. General Argavisti shaded his eyes against the sun.
Fellas just standing there, he said.
Could be a spy, said Borvorius.
Don't see how he could be a spy in his own country, said Argavisti. Anyway, if he was a spy, he'd be creeping around. That's how you can tell.
The figure had stopped at the foot of the dunes. There was something about it that drew the eye. Argavisti had faced many an opposing army, and this was normal. One patiently waiting figure was not. He found he kept turning to look at it.
He's carrying something, he said eventually. Sergeant, go and bring that man here.
A few minutes later, the sergeant returned.
Says he'll meet you in the middle of the beach, sir, he reported.
Didn't I tell you to bring him here?
He didn't want to come, sir.
You've got a sword, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Prodded him a bit, but he didn't want to move, sir. And he's carrying a dead body, sir.
On a battlefield? It's not bring your own, you know.
And, sir?
What?
He says he's probably the Cenobiarch, sir. Wants to talk about a peace treaty.
Oh, he does. Peace treaty. We know about peace treaties with Omnia. Go and tell... No, take a couple of men and bring him here.
Brother walked back between the soldiers, through the organized pandemonium of the camp. I ought to feel afraid, he thought. I was always afraid in the citadel, but not now. This is through fear and out the other side. Occasionally, one of the soldiers would give him a push. It's not allowed for an enemy to walk freely into a camp, even if he wants to. He was brought before a trestle table, behind which sat half a dozen large men in various military styles, and one small, olive-skinned man who was gutting a fish and grinning hopefully at everyone.
Well now, said Argavisti, Cenobiarch of Omnia, hm?